The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
This is the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. We're continuing a study of the Gospel of John, and today we shall go into John 1:14. But first, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for the divine illumination on thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's our scripture for the day. And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To review last week's message on this particular chapter, we observed that this is probably one of the most weightiest, wonderful passages in the whole Bible, because in this verse, we have the incarnation of Christ, we have the fullness of Christ, and we have the glorification of Christ. I explained to you that incarnation means spirit taking on human form. It says here, the Word was made flesh. And the word Word here is with a capital W. This chapter, John 1, begins with these words, "In the beginning was the Word." Word again with a capital W. The word here, of course, throughout this passage refers to Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate, clearest expression of God. Let me say it again. Jesus is the ultimate, clearest expression of God. Jesus is God's best word to man. And about 2,000 years ago, in the land of Israel, Jesus, the Word, entered a human body, and so the second section of this verse says, and he dwelled among us. The Word dwelled among us. Now, as we go into a deeper meaning of the word dwelled, we learn that it means tabernacled. Jesus tabernacled among us. And this word, of course, tabernacled, connects us to the tabernacle in the Old Testament. God asked the children of Israel to build a tabernacle for him, a tent made out of animal skins from which he would meet with God's people and where they would meet with him. So the tabernacle in the Old Testament was also called the place of meeting. The whole camp of Israel camped around the tabernacle each day. This tabernacle was also extraordinary in that at daytime there would always be a cloud above it, indicating the presence and the mercy of God, sparing his people from the heat of the sun. And then there was a pillar of fire over this tabernacle at night, again indicating the presence of God amongst his people and protecting them from the cold in a desert. This was going on for 40 years. This was the most remarkable tent that there ever was on the face of the earth. And no one was allowed to live in this tent but God. Of course, this was not the only place for God, but it was one of the places in which he dwelled from time to time. So, in the Old Testament, God tabernacled amongst the Jewish people in this tent of animal skins. Now we have a transition in the New Testament because their God, through Christ Jesus, became flesh. He took on flesh. He took on human form. And it says he tabernacled amongst us. So in other words, the body of Jesus became the new tabernacle. The body of Jesus became the new meeting place for man to meet with God and for God to meet with man. And this has not changed to this very day. We can only come to God through Jesus. The Bible tells us there is no other name under heaven whereby which we can be saved. We can only come to God through Jesus. He is our tabernacle. He is our meeting place. He is our mediator. He is the door to heaven, to God the Father. And therefore, we like to close our prayers as we have been taught with saying in Jesus' name. Now, the third aspect of this verse, was the glorification of Christ, let me give you this verse to you again. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what John means when he says we beheld His glory is he means Peter, James, and John beheld His glory. Three of us, apostles. He refers to the moment when Jesus took these three apostles to a high mountain to pray, and then as they were praying, the Lord Jesus was transfigured. That is, His body became brilliantly white, even as the brightness and glory of the sun. These three apostles saw Jesus in this pre-incarnation glory, the glory which Jesus had before He came to earth, even before the foundation of the world was laid. And as they beheld His glory, they saw that His glory had two components that filled it. And the one was grace, and the other was truth. That's all they saw. It says, we beheld His glory full of grace and truth. So it took the transfiguration to tell us the components of God's glory. Isn't that wonderful? It took the transfiguration. This is a significance. This is the main reason why Jesus was transfigured, to convey to the church, to every believer, what He is full of, and that's grace and truth. It took Jesus taking Peter, James, and John to a prayer meeting on a mountaintop to tell all of us what we need to hear about grace and truth. Wasn't Peter glad that he did not quit 6 days before the transfiguration when Jesus told him, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't care one bit about the things of God, but you only care about the things of men. Peter was chosen to be the chief apostle of the 12. He had forsaken all to follow Jesus. He had the revelation that Jesus was not just a prophet, but that He was the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Yet Jesus gave Peter the greatest rebuke He ever gave to any disciple in the New Testament. And I believe this is the greatest rebuke that any man ever received, any man of God ever received in the entire history of the church. Well, my friends, sometimes God deals hard with His choicest servants. But don't you quit when Jesus does that with you, because next week, if you stay with Him, it could just be the next week He may show you something wonderful, as was the case here. The next week, Jesus took Peter with Him to the Mount of Transfiguration to behold His glory. Now, let us consider more specifically the words grace and truth. Let us ask, what is grace? Well, I've looked at this in the Greek and Hebrew text, and this is what I'm coming up with. The word grace is to be associated with graciousness, with kindness, with favor, with joy, with delight, and with sweetness. So, if we were to create a spiritual man called grace, those would be the organs of this spiritual man: graciousness, kindness, favor, joy, delight, and sweetness. Now, of course, if you put organs together, they're just organs. They don't go anywhere. So you have to have a skeleton, and you have to have muscles. And the skeletal and muscular system of grace is truth. So we have grace and truth. When the three apostles saw Jesus in His heavenly glory, they saw such spiritual person full of grace and truth as they had never seen before. Dear ones, if you're a follower of Jesus, the longer you are going all for God, the more these two virtues will become embedded in every fiber of your being, grace and truth. As far as grace, you'll become more kind. You'll become more gracious. You'll become more delightful to be with. You'll become sweeter as the days go by. So if you see any Christian or believer that doesn't have these qualities of grace, that means they are far from following Jesus. The Christians ought to be the sweetest, most gracious, kindest, humblest people on the face of the earth. Now we know that this becoming gracious, of course, is a process. This is why Peter writes in his epistle, he says, grace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. But my friends, grace is not all these three apostles saw in the glory of God, in his heavenly garment or embodiment, but they also saw a backbone. They also saw a skeleton. They also saw a muscular structure, the musculoskeletal structure of truth and the glorified Son of God, full of grace and truth. And as far as the truth is concerned, I want you to know Jesus never budged from the truth. He never compromised the truth. He never covered up or hid the truth. He lived for the truth. He preached the truth, although he lost many friends because of it. He stayed with the truth until the truth he held took him to his very death, to the crucifixion. You see, he himself was the truth and is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." So Jesus was not wishy-washy. He was not somebody to be pushed about. He was not a weakling. He was the mighty Son of God. The problem we have with Christianity of today is that we like grace and we sing a lot about grace. We talk a lot about it. We don't seem to like the truth all that much. We want to talk about love and love. We don't want to talk about holiness. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, even in our churches, hate holiness more than they hate sin. The truth tells us that God is a holy God. And the Bible tells us that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So, my dear friend, if you live in a sexual relationship with a person you are not married to, you may even have had an experience with God. At some time in your life, if you are living in a sexual relationship with a person you're not married to, you're living in unholiness. What are you going to say, my friend, on Judgment Day? Since the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You see, the truth is important because truth convicts us. Truth illuminates us about right and wrong. The truth pricks us. It pricks our conscience. And the truth then causes us to repent of our evil ways. And then grace takes over. Grace takes us from there, and grace forgives us, and grace cleanses us, and grace makes us new persons in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we need truth and grace both. And that's what Jesus is all about, full of grace and truth. The Pharisees had truth without grace because they didn't know Jesus. So they were hard and judgmental and critical. The Corinthian Christians, as you read the epistles of Paul to them, they believed a lot in grace, but they lacked in holiness. They lacked in truth. And Paul pled with the Christians there to clean up their lives. If you have grace without truth, you're like a man without bones and muscles. You go nowhere for God. If you have truth without grace, you are dead. You're like a man without organs. Your organs are rotten away and the vultures have consumed them. Well, let us be full of both grace and truth. So our text is, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So here in this text, my friend, which I said earlier is, I believe, the weightiest text perhaps in the whole Bible. Here in this text we have the incarnation, which means Jesus became flesh. We have the incarnation of Christ. We have the glorification of Christ, which came through the Mount of Transfiguration. And then we also have the fullness of Christ. Well, I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry coming out of Kokomo, Indiana. And may the Lord continue to teach you and to quicken you and to humble you and break you and remake you. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.